by mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed, were you listening attentively when the words were read from the Gospel of Mark? Do you realize that in that passage you have the words that could change our lives? As a matter of fact, it contains a secret that could absolutely transform the entire church. If believed and practiced by us, not only would it help us, but do you know that it would empower and liberate the lives of people around us? And most of all, we would discover our essential reason for being alive. And our lives would be so filled and so empowered with an exciting purpose that would unleash all of our unused potential. Each of us is the indispensable link of God's continuing creation. We were born not only to know Him, not only to experience His love as it is focused in Jesus Christ, not only to respond in faith by living a life that is obedient to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but also that we might be reproducers of our faith, reaching one person at a time, even today, is the best way to reach the entire world. Listen to these words. And as he was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting nets into the sea, and they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Jesus passed by the sea, and there he sees Simon and Andrew. And then later he sees James and John, and they were either mending or casting their nets. Now the other Gospels are very clear that these men knew Jesus Christ. Jesus had attracted them by his message. They were acquainted with his message and obviously have been speaking about it and his deeds. But he too had noticed them. He obviously had singled them out as potential future disciples. And so now was the time, was right that they might hear that call. And this would explain why there's no introduction but very simple direct call, "Come, follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men." If you remember nothing else from this morning's chapel service, I hope that you will remember this. Jesus Christ knew how to communicate with people. He communicated with people where they were, in their language, not above them, not beneath them, but he was very direct. He used a word, a very common fishing word, to indicate their new high call. Or in Greek, the grail means to take alive. It meant catching fish in such a way that they would still be alive when they were brought back to shore for sale. And now, these fishermen were to become fishers of men in the same way. They were called to take men alive. And do you realize that that is still the calling of every single Christian today? But I sometimes wonder if we who are studying for the ministry, or professors, or whatever, do we know how to communicate as Jesus did? Are we really interested in communicating with people so that they might fully understand, or do we sometimes become a blockage to this communication? It reminds me of the woman who early one morning was standing in her kitchen. She was barefoot. She had on an old torn bathrobe. Her hair was up and curling. And all of a sudden she heard the garbage truck outside. There stood two large garbage sacks right in the middle of the kitchen. She grabbed them, she ran outside, and she cried, "Am I too late?" And they looked at her and said, "No, lady, jump in." I wonder if we sometimes communicate in the same way, or do we really speak to the people? So often, I think that the evangelism that some of us try to use kills people off with conceptualism. or by trying to bind them to a rigid set of rules. Do we sometimes try to introduce people to a cosmic policeman, or are we introducing them to truly a liberating law? What does the Lord say about those branches that do not produce, that are not reproducers of their faith? You realize God has unleashed all of the power from heaven for us to be able communicators of His word. Fruitfulness is not a luxury. It is a requirement. What's the qualification? Not only faith in Jesus Christ, but to be reproducers of that faith. And let me tell you, it takes time, it takes energy, and believe me, it takes vulnerability to really tear up our people. Sometimes, wouldn't we rather have just a direct line of grace to our individualistic personal faith and let the rest of the world go to hell? And that's just what happens to people who have not heard, who have not accepted the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ as it is mediated to them by us. I recall when I was in the parish ministry, we had an evangelism group. We called them the Kingdom Workers, and they went out two Sunday afternoons every month. We would have from 130 to 160 people who would go out on these Sunday afternoons to make calls. Well, there was a lady by the name of Hazel. I'd had the privilege of baptizing, confirming Hazel at the age of 60. And she always saw the invitation to the Kingdom Workers, but never did she attend. And then one day she said to me, "Pastor, I love my church, but I should never go and call on someone." And I said, "Hazel, you don't have to come. You just do what you're doing." Because from the time that Hazel had come into the kingdom, I have never had an adult class that she didn't bring at least one. In fact, in one class, she brought seven. She knew how to communicate without realizing. And if the church is going to be alive, then we are the channel. And we must learn how to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there is no sickness in a church quite like the infectious infamy of non-productive ecclesiastics. Christ needs to live in you, but Christ needs also to live through you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ.